Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break.
It's time to work on becoming an actor with David Sarcuza. David started his acting, screenwriting, and movie production career in 2021, producing his first full-length feature film, which he wrote, produced, and starred in, The End Civil War, America Divided, within a year of entering the business. And he's the host of Becoming an Actor on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Now, here's your local, not yet famous, not quite Hollywood star, David Sarcuza.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
Good evening, everyone. How y'all doing out there? It is Tuesday, a little bit after 6 p.m., so it must be time for Becoming an Actor on the Tan Talk Radio Network. That is right. Very exciting. 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Unfortunately, this is my last evening on the Tan Talk Radio Network. I'm going to be moving over to my new studio at the Stunt Academy, K75 Stunt Academy. And so you'll be able to catch me on Facebook Live there. I'll let everybody know where I'm going to next. In the meantime, I will be keeping my Tuesday at 6 p.m. time slot, so you'll be able to catch me still every Tuesday at 6 p.m. In the meantime, though, tonight we are going to get to talk with Masetta live on the air, which is awesome because Masetta Vander, for those of you who know her, and if you don't, you should look her up right now because she is an amazing actress. If you want to get in on the discussion with Masetta, 727-441-3000, you could talk to her live tonight. Before we get to Masetta, what went on during my week last week? I've been saying this for a little while now. For a show that is titled Becoming an Actor, I am failing as a host because I have not been on set very much at all lately. But that is because I've been working on getting the K75 Stunt Academy up and running. I've talked about it the last couple of weeks a little bit. You're probably all sick of hearing about it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking about it tonight, because we had our first day yesterday, our soft opening, and I got to tell you, man, was that cool. It's kind of like, for me, being on set. You know, when I walk on set, I'm always amazed. I love it. It's such an amazing feeling, whether I'm background or a lead. Usually I'm not a lead, but, you know, if I am, or I'm just something in between, or I'm on the crew side. It's such an electric feeling to be there when everyone's yelling, you know, camera rolling, sound speeding, action. You hear the call outs, you hear quiet on set, everything. It's just, what a feeling when you're on set. If you haven't experienced it, that's why I have this show. You need to get into this business and you need to get on set, even if you just do it a couple of times. I've had a couple of friends do that, say they just wanted the experience. They got on, they PA'd, a production assistant, something like that, just to have the experience. Because we get great movies that come to the Pinellas area, the Hillsborough area, and they're brought here by the great incentives that Pinellas and Hillsborough have set up. I will continue to rail that we don't have anything for the state, and I'm going to start working on that soon. That's going to be my next project. After K75 is up and running, I'm going to start focusing on getting Florida to bring back some type of film incentive. It's crazy that we're letting our wonderful neighbors to the north, Georgia, kill us with that. We should be doing something about that. So that's going to be one of my next projects after this. If anybody's interested in working on that with me, putting some pressure on our lawmakers up in Tallahassee, please feel free to reach out. And I see Lisa Yambo is already on here saying something about, so glad I got to share the scene with you both. Yes, you're on screen with us, Lisa, and we're going to be seeing that. I am pretty certain, I shouldn't say the date, but I'm going to say it anyway, and I'm going to jinx myself. I think it's going to be May 28th at the AMC Sundial. that's when we're doing the premiere. Musetta, who's on the line, I'm going to be bringing in a second. You're going to be able to see her on the big screen. You're going to be able to see Daniel Roebuck. You'll be forced to see me. You'll get to see Bronson Taylor. You'll get to see Lisa. You're going to get to see some fantastic people on the big screen at the AMC Sundial. Going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are going to be cheap, $10. That's like a third of a normal movie ticket these days, it seems like. So hopefully everyone's going to come out. I'm just waiting for the actual approval from AMC. I can't wait either, Lisa. I know it's going to be very exciting. So, going back to the first day at K75, so cool. It's like being on set. It really was, because maybe I have a little bit higher impression of myself than I should. I think most people usually look at themselves and see themselves, very flattering light. I think of myself as being very active, as being very physical. So when Kevin said we're going to be doing some roles and we're going to be doing this and we're going to do side roles and front roles, I'm like, okay, whatever. That's so easy, right? Woo! Once you get out there and start doing it, boy, it is it's an interesting world out there. You start thinking, oh, I'm just doing a front roll. Well, you got to get your head tucked the right way. Otherwise, you're going to land on your noggin and it's going to hurt a little bit. You have to jump into it and you have to commit. Because if you don't commit, you're not going over all the way. And then you're not going to roll properly. And it's going to hurt if you don't do it the right way. You know immediately. That's the one good thing about doing something wrong in stunts. You know immediately if you did it wrong. Because if it doesn't feel great, you did it wrong, right? So we did all sorts of fun things. We're swinging around some bamboo swords, very, very controlled, because we're all newbies out there. We don't have any amazing stunt people out there right now other than Kevin Rigo, but he's the one that's training us. So we're very safety conscious with everything we do. We do some running to warm up. We do push-ups. But then we get into the stunts. And man, after doing the rolls for 5-10 minutes, after doing the side rolls, the forward rolls, the shoulder rolls, it's amazing how much more comfortable you are with it. And so, I always say this. I didn't understand when we were shooting the Uncivil War, America Divided. I did not understand how difficult it is to do those stunts and how much time you need to set that up. And the reason we're setting up this academy is because when you have someone incredible like Musetta Vander coming to town for a big production, she's coming in for a Lifetime movie or a Hallmark movie or a whatever movie that's shooting here at Clearwater, because we have such a beautiful landscape here, beautiful beaches to shoot at. When you've got someone coming in to shoot like that, yes, a lot of the times they bring their own stunt people. Sometimes, though, they don't. And if they say, hey, we need someone to do stunts, and they're just going to have someone teach those people right here in Clearwater, it's going to take them some time to teach those people. How do you throw a punch? How do you make it look like you're really getting hit on set? That's going to waste half a day for them, a day for them. That's going to extend their production time. And then it's going to be, okay, we got a stunt that they learned today. If they have people that have been practicing how to make a stunt punch look real for 3 months, now they don't have to worry about taking a half day or a day to train people, and they're going to get a fantastic stunt out of it. It's going to make a difference on the big screen. And don't tell me that they don't care about that, because I know I cared about it in my movie. And that is one thing I'm going to focus on a lot more in my next movie. I'm going to put a lot more time into those stunts. So, all right, let's get Musetta on the line because she's probably the reason that you tuned in tonight, not to listen to me. So, Musetta, are you there?
Hi, David. How are you? Can you hear me?
I am doing great. let's see. Try that again. Let me see.
The volume. Can you hear me well?
There we go. That's better. Does that sound good? Yep. All right. We got the nod of approval, so we can hear you. How are you doing tonight, Musetta?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm at my favorite place, looking at the ocean while I talk to you and sit under a shady tree.
So as soon as you said my favorite place, I knew it was going to be ocean. It was either ocean or river or lake, something with water, right?
Absolutely. Something in nature.
That's right. Yeah, because I remember when you were shooting on Civil War here with us, you said during your time off, because you had a couple of days in between here and there, you were like, I'm going to Crystal River. I'm going to Weekiwaja. You were all over the place. You saw Florida while you were here.
I did. I really loved it, I got to tell you. And I think anytime you're on location, you have to seize the moment. You've got to take that opportunity to go and check out everything and get to know the place. I mean, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And such a beautiful state. And then you were just telling me that you were up north someplace, Connecticut or Maryland?
Connecticut, yes.
Connecticut, okay.
Shooting up in Sherman, Connecticut, yeah.
And beautiful, you were telling me how beautiful that place was.
Yes. I mean, there's so many beautiful places to see all over the planet. You know, it's a shame not to go out and explore more, you know. So I really take advantage of it. Whenever I travel for work, I will stay on a couple of days and I will go travel.
That's great. That sounds fantastic. See, I love that. I'm a big traveler myself as well, although my big problem is I won't get onto a plane, which greatly restricts things and makes it very difficult. But so it just makes me even more jealous of you. And the great thing is, because you are such a great actress, you get jobs, it seems like, and you are all over the place. Do you find that you travel outside the States a lot for business, or is it mostly for films and commercials and things inside the United States?
Well, I mean, it varies, right? So it used to be a lot of the TV shows would shoot up in Vancouver, Canada. There was just a very big incentive for companies to go and shoot out there. So a lot of the TV shows I did went to Vancouver, Canada, and it's magnificently beautiful there. Other shows do shoot in town, but usually, because it's cheaper to shoot outside of California, a lot of the productions would shoot outside of the of California or in Europe, like in Romania or Bulgaria or wherever, South Africa, because of the incentives. Obviously, filmmakers want to put the money on the screen, and that is a big incentive for them to travel to where it's cheaper to go shoot a movie. So, I mean, that just added to the wanderlust, obviously, for me.
Right. Yeah. And actually, talking about that, I think I just heard that Disney is headed to England, I think, to for one of their next big production companies, where locations, I should say, that they're planning on moving a lot of operations over to England. Had you heard that?
I have not, but there are so many big studios over there already. I mean, when we shot Mortal Kombat, we were working in studios out there. We were working out in England as well. So, you know, this has been going on a long time. There's a lot of production companies all over Europe.
Gotcha. So, and actually, you know, that brings up a really good point. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that know Musetta Vander and just know who you are automatically. But we should kind of introduce you a little bit, because you are a big deal. You've been in Mortal Kombat, as you just mentioned, Wild Wild West. You've been in Kicking and Screaming. I love that movie. You've been in a lot of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Kind of give us a little flavor of who is Musetta Vander. Introduce yourself to the audience for us, please.
Well, there's a lot. I'm an entertainer, I guess, a performer. I was born into the entertainment industry as a dancer. And I have a great passion for the arts. And I've been in film and television pretty much my entire life. Always been in front of a camera. I also have been behind the camera, but I really have done everything. It's been a natural progression for me. I went from being a professional dancer to going into the music video world to going into the world of film and television. And I mean, it's just one thing just snowballs into another, because when you are in the arts as an actor, everything is kind of folding into each other. It's not like it's not just like you do one thing. You do many things. So it's like you sing, you dance, you act. It's not just one particular thing you do, and it's just a natural progression. At least it was for me. I really love becoming a different character, or doing a movie, or traveling, meeting the people. I also like the lifestyle. I think being an actor, you have to like the lifestyle, because every time a job is over, you start from scratch, and you've got to have that in you to know this is the kind of job you're choosing for a profession, and it's always going to be in flux.
That's really tough, isn't it? That the job ends, and it's not like someone's, you know, sitting in an office like The Office. You know, you think Pam Beasley was always there, and all the other people around her, and you see the same people, and you've got that year after year after year. Whereas here, like you said, a movie ends, and now all of a sudden you kind of lost a family almost, because you have to go to the next film, and you'll get a new family there, a new film family there. But sometimes you're on set for a day, sometimes it's 20 days, you know. So is that difficult for you, or has it gotten easier over the years?
No, it's not hard for me, because I have always been in this business. It's kind of what I am used to. And also, I've met so many amazing people working on sets and going to all these incredible countries where I've had the good fortune to be able to work as an actor in a movie. It's really been incredible. I think what is really important for anybody who wants to be an actor is that you have to be well-rounded. You have to be able to have something else to fill the gaps if there isn't another movie coming up right away, or another TV show. That's really important. You can't just sit back and wait for a next movie or a next project. You always have to be active. You always have to be, put your fingers in, in many places, so to speak.
So what keeps Musetta Vander active when you're not doing your next movie, when you don't have one right around the corner?
Well, there's a lot of things I do. I'm also an editor. Long time ago, because I used to be married to a director, I would sit and watch the whole, behind the scenes in detail. You know, I was very involved in the production of things as well. And I loved the editing side of it, and I really saw how you could sculpt performances in the editing room. You could really make or break a performance in an editing room. And it's a very creative process. For me, I love it. So I started with doing small projects, just for my own. And then I started editing demo reels, and then my friends wanted me to do their demo reels, and then it snowballed from there, and, I started doing bigger things. Ended up doing a documentary for somebody. Not something I ever planned to do. So between the dancing or the singing, or the editing, or I also have a healing practice, which I've been involved with for a very, very long time. I've always been into nature and natural healing, alternative medicine, for lack of a better word. So I have a degree in communication and psychology. So I have a lot of different things I have studied over the years and have done for a long time. And I can easily move from one platform to another, and I enjoy all of them. I really enjoy all of them.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a lot. I was going to say, now, in the acting arena or the entertainment industry, do you have a favorite? Is it the dancing? Is it the acting, the singing? What's the one that, if you had your druthers, which one would you go to?
Well, I love acting. I think acting is a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful art form. It's very creative. It's so much fun. The imagination, is limitless. You can do anything. I really enjoy that. It's my favorite thing to do. Dancing, I don't really dance anymore. It's just for myself, just to keep in shape, or the workout, but I don't dance professionally anymore. That's been done a while ago. It takes a lot of energy to do that. I have just kind of put my focus more on doing film, tape, TV, editing. I also do voiceover, so wherever the work is, I go there.
Okay, great. So I wanted to talk to you about, some of the movies that you've done in the past, some of the bigger ones. Obviously, I already mentioned Mortal Kombat. You were Queen Sindel. And how much do you find that people love you from this film in that role? Because it seems like one of those iconic figures. Even when you were on the set of Uncivil War, I remember you were talking about how you were signing, you were autographing posters or DVDs or something for fans of that character. Is that one of those cult characters that you find that a lot of people recognize you from?
Well, Mortal Kombat has always had a huge following way before I ever entered the picture, because the video game was so popular. And Mortal Kombat 1 was already established, and then Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which is the one I did, came into the picture. I think any sci-fi character is extremely popular. It has a following that is a very loyal base. It's like doing sci-fi, any sci-fi, Star Trek or Stargate, it's the same thing. You know, 20, 25 years later, people are still following the show. It has that kind of impact on people because I think it just, it just pushes people's imaginations into other worlds, and it gives them the ability to go and explore things, you know, in a different level than normal mundane life. And as far as Mortal Kombat, my character's popularity, I think Sindel was always very popular, and I'm very happy that people like her. So, you know, it's always so nice to have somebody who is a huge fan still be interested in Queen Sindel to come and say hello, and I love that. So I really enjoy that.
Do you do a lot of the conventions? Because I know sci-fi conventions are absolutely huge. Like you said, there's such a big, dedicated fan base for it. Do you do a lot of those?
I don't do a lot. I do some. I just actually did a Xena convention, and it was the 25th year anniversary of Xena, which was
wow,
amazing. I mean, who would have known, you know, all these years later, we would still be doing Xena convention. That's how popular it is. And Star Trek and Stargate, it's the same kind of thing. It's just a very loyal fan base, and people just love it. Once they lock into it, they just never let go. It becomes like a family when you go to these conventions. People just really love it. They dress up, you know, they make their costumes a year in advance. They really have a favorite character or series or episode that they like. And it's a lot of fun. It's a real experience to go to them. And it's very nice to meet the fans. It's very nice to do that.
So speaking of that, you know, you talk about how dedicated those fans are. Would you say that that's the one that you feel like you're most tied to or known the most from is Sindel, or is it from one of your other roles?
Well, the sci-fi following, you know, well, I don't know, because everybody's different, right? So there's the Stargate has a huge following. Star Trek has a huge following. And Mortal Kombat, if you're a gamer, you're into the Mortal Kombat, right? Into Mortal Kombat, because it's more for the gamers.
Right.
If you're, you know, it just depends what you're into. It really, every individual has its preference for what show they like to follow. So I don't know, you know, when I had dark hair, it was easier to recognize me. Now I'm blonde. So it's not the same. But,
you're incognito from Sindel now. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So I read something about Mortal Kombat, and now I remember playing the video game back in the day. I've even played it a couple of times more recently. You know, my boys, I've got two boys, so they're both have been into it over the years. But one of the producers of the movie online, I read that he had said the special effects in his estimation were not completely finished. He felt like there was more that needed to be done, and he kind of felt like it was rushed through to the finish line for some reason. And I'm sure that happens all the time on big budgets, on minor budgets. You know, you get into trying to get it done quickly. As an editor, I would imagine that you have a pretty critical eye for that. Did you feel like it was a set that kind of got rushed at times, or that it got rushed through post-production?
Well, I mean, this was one of the first big feature films I did, which is like, you know, had a huge following already. For me as an actor at that time, I wasn't aware of any of that, because that all happens in post. Afterwards, and we are not privy to that, right? We just find out at the end of the day, this is when the premiere is of the movie, you know, and that's the first time we see it is when everybody else goes to see it.
Right.
Sometimes you go to the premiere and you're like, wait, what happened to that scene? Where is it?
<Yeah.
gone.
laughs> That was my favorite scene. I was actually in that one, and it's gone.
That was my best scene. It's not even in the film, and I don't have the footage. You know, so we don't know about what happens in post. Most actors don't, unless you are actually involved in production.
That's true, and that film, now I don't have the exact date of when that film was, but that was quite a while ago, and that was back before everything was, you know, 3 seconds later, you know what's happening. Yeah, you know, and all the producers are talking about, this is what should have happened, this is what did happen. So it's from before the 3 second news cycle. So I imagine it was a lot different at that time when it was released as well.
Yeah, the technology was way different. I mean, way different than it is today, right? We're still in the old school, you know, film and taking forever to do the special effects and stuff. Like today, everything's computerized. If you want a fire-breathing dragon, you know, it doesn't take so long. It doesn't take days and days to render the footage, you know?
Right.
It's like almost instant. Very different world today.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Wild Wild West, because, I mean, I remember that one back in the day, and I haven't seen that one, I think, since it came out, but I remember that one as a great film. You know, I was, I don't know, I think I was maybe in my 20s when I saw that, but, I mean, it had Kevin Kline, Will Smith, Salma Hayek, Kenneth Branagh, I mean, so many great actors and actresses in it, and it wasn't a huge box office success. I remember loving it, and maybe this is one of those ones that, you know, as a kid or a young adult, you remember liking it, and you go back later, and you're like, you know, didn't hold up over time, but it must have been unbelievable to work with all of those people. Were you on set with a lot of those actors? Did you get to work with a number of them?
Oh, yeah, I did. I think we worked on that movie for, I think, about 3 months. It was an incredible experience. I think the people who were fans of the old Wild Wild West were not so fond of the modernized version of Wild Wild West. I didn't know the old version of the series. So I loved it. I mean, it was at that stage, it was a very big budget. It was $130 million. It was the summer blockbuster of the year. But I guess there were mixed reviews on it because of fans who were very loyal to the previous show. I mean, to me, working on it is amazing. I had to actually stand in to do the table read when Selma wasn't available. So my first introduction to everybody was at a table reading in front of all the producers and directors, sitting at a long table where I sat down directly across from Kenneth Branagh, Will Smith, Kevin Kline, like literally directly across from them. Wow. Said hello, and then we started the table read. It was wow, like the pressure was insane, and it was a fantastic experience. And then I got to rehearse with them, because I guess Selma was on another project. While they were blocking all the stuff, so I was rehearsing all her parts, and then I did mine, you know, later. But so I had a really good experience on that, and they did some amazing things. In that movie, there's a cornfield where the train is going through a cornfield, and Will Smith and Kevin Kline have the like a thing around their neck, like a round disc, and I shoot a thing up that's going to decapitate their neck.
Yes, and I remember that, yes.
Yeah, they grew that cornfield a year ahead of time, and that train was brought from some museum somewhere. It was the real locomotive was brought out to set to shoot that, and we shot that particular scene in Santa Fe, and the other stuff was shot on the Warner Brothers lot. So, I mean, it was an incredible experience, you know, to be on a lot like that, to work all the time, to go out to locations, and the attention to detail, the costuming, the set. It was just, there was just no expense spared, and it's just, you know, that level of a budget on the production, it's just another world.
Right. Yeah, that's got to be amazing to work on something like that. I mean, you know, most of us here in Florida, we're used to very small budgets. You've got sometimes, you know, one crew member is doing three jobs. And, you know, so to go from here to something like that would just be kind of otherworldly for us. Now, where were you, do you recall, in your career at that point? Was this like that kind of feeling of almost being overwhelmed, or had you already been doing a lot of bigger things and been working with bigger stars like Kevin Kline and Will Smith and guys like that?
I had already had the good fortune of stepping into, you know, a few well-known, you know, productions where other well-known actors were involved. For me, I've never really looked at, you know, like a celebrity as a celebrity. I just see a person. I just see an actor, right? So for me, I've never been a starstruck person. I see somebody working on a craft. I love to learn from them. I admire their work. And, I never felt nervous or overwhelmed, and I think maybe that is because of my history of, you know, I've been in front of a camera and always as a dancer for so long since I've been young, I don't have that fear. I don't have a fear of stepping onto a set or who I'm going to be working with.
That's funny. See, you know, I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, there was only one time I did get onto set, and I did have a scene partner. I was standing across from Musetta Vander, and I just, you know, I was just blown away. I'm like, Musetta, now you're amazing. So I could see how you would say that, because it's funny. I remember when we first did a Zoom call with you, and Andy and I were on the phone with you, Andrew Huff, the director, and we met you for the first time on that call, and you just, we were amazed about how easily you slipped into the character, how easily you brought up ideas about what you thought we should do with it, how it should go. And we got off the phone and we were like, now there we go. That is truly a professional actor. And not to say, you know, that we don't have that in Florida. I always hate to try and compare like Florida and Hollywood, but you always know when you're, you know, when I go out to play basketball, I always talk about that as a good example. I think of myself as a good basketball player. But then when I go out and I stand on the court and there's a college level player there, someone who used to play college, and they play with me, I realize, okay, I'm a good player. That's a fantastic athlete right there. And we felt that with, you know, Andy and I both felt that dealing with you the first time, and then the same thing with Daniel Roebuck the first time that we met him. And we were like, wow, we have two amazing actors to be a part of this film, and we are so blessed to have you guys. And you did such a fantastic job on the movie. So I will say thank you
that
to you.
So sweet.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So real quick, before we go on, if anyone would like to call in to talk to Musetta or about anything, our number is 727-441-3000. And you know, there were a lot of other big things that you were a part of, but I know two other big movies that you were in, Oh Brother Where Art Thou and Kicking and Screaming. Were you a bigger fan of either one of those, or did you have a particularly great experience on them? I know I loved Kicking and Screaming. I thought that was hysterical. I never actually saw Oh Brother Where Art Thou, but I loved Kicking and Screaming. I thought that was a hysterical movie. Did you feel like both were wonderful, one really stood out, or the other?
Well, they both were so completely different. You know, I was a huge fan of the Coen brothers. So for me to be in a Coen brothers movie was, like, amazing. You know, it was just not my wildest dreams that I ever think I was going to be in a movie of theirs. So I loved that whole experience, because every production, every movie is so different. You know, the people are different. The directions, the directors are different. So you learn something from everybody. Like being on set, you know, on Kicking and Screaming, it was great. I mean, working with Robert Duvall, I mean, that was just insane. And Will Ferrell. And it was like crazy. But when they originally came out, I remember this because I was working on a movie in Romania, and my manager was like, Musetta, you know, there's this role at the opposite Robert Duvall for this movie called Kicking and Screaming. Can you put yourself on tape? So I said, okay, I'll put myself on tape. So I went to go try and get my video camera to record the scene, and they'd stolen my video camera. So I wrote to my manager. I said, I'm sorry, I can't put myself on tape. They stole my camera. Oh, really? I'm like, yeah. I said, I'm going to South Africa. I'll try when I'm in South Africa, because I'm going to go visit my family. So I get to South Africa, and I can't remember what happened there, and I couldn't get the scene recorded there either. So he's like really frustrated. And anyway, so now it's like time has gone by, and I'm like, oh, they probably cast us. And I mean, ooh. Why would they ever hire me? Every A-list actor is going to want to do this part opposite Robert Duvall. So I came back to L.A., and my manager said, Musetta, and it's like 2.5 months have gone by. They still haven't found this character. And I'm like, okay, all right. He goes, please go on this audition. There's an audition. And I got my side for it, and I remember looking at the side, and I went to lunch with a friend of mine, and I really didn't think I'd ever get the part. And I said, oh, can you just read this with me quickly while we're having lunch? I just want to read through it here. And okay, and then we ate lunch. And then I went to the interview, and I remember sitting in the room outside the audition at the casting director's office, and I remember seeing a sign on the wall, and suddenly it just dawned on me, this is a huge opportunity. And, I mean, I knew that, but it was just like, I just didn't think I was ever, but something in that picture I looked at made me feel like, this is the possibility, which changed my mind from, forget it, I'll never get it. And as I walked in the room, everybody was in the room. And they were like, are you ready? And I remember just looking at them going, I was born ready. What am I going to say?
Right, you got to just go.
You just have to go. And I remember having my sides with me, and they actually handed me a salad bowl, which is never, no one's ever handed me a prop in an audition in my entire life. And they handed me a salad bowl because the scene, which is not in the movie today, was a scene where I'm making salad in the kitchen with Kate Walsh's character, and we were talking about our husband. And I was like, oh, wow. And I remember putting the salad bowl on my lap and the sides right next to me because I kind of looked at them like briefly. I memorized them kind of fast, but, you know, it wasn't, and I just thought, well, you just got to go into this character, just live in this moment, just do it. And I was mixing my salad bowl and I was talking 100 miles an hour. And lo and behold, I booked this movie. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, it just shows you. I think, you know, I don't ever go in unprepared. It wasn't like I was unprepared for it. I think you have to always prepare as an actor. But you have to at some point just put it in your back pocket, you know, so you're not stressing over it so much that when you walk into the room, your stress levels and your anxiety is controlling your whole environment and you can't be yourself. And I think that was probably what was my blessing in that moment. I just really didn't think I was going to get the job. I just had fun.
I think that's amazing. The fact that you were walking into that thinking that you weren't going to get that, because I think that a lot when I look at some roles and I'm thinking, I'm not going to get that. And it, so to think, wow, somebody of your caliber kind of feels the same way. It kind of helps, I think, for us, I'll call us little people, that haven't worked with the huge actors like you have on a regular basis, to kind of know that, you know, we're kind of all the same in that respect. It kind of maybe takes a little pressure off of us.
Well, it doesn't change ever, I think. I think, look, there's always offers and there's always a list. There's always a list that they'll go down to get the name they want because it has the resale value for the movie. So if your name can sell their movie, your chances are much better. But when you have a studio picture, they don't need you to be a name, right?
Right,
that
right.
Much. They have enough publicity and stuff like that. It's more for the independent productions that look at what can the name bring back in the box office return.
Absolutely.
Either way, I mean, I think as a general note, it doesn't matter how much I work on it, because some parts I've worked on extensively. You know, and I felt like I did a fantastic job, and then I never hear from it. And other jobs I work on a lot, and I've learned to just, when I walk out there, I walk away from the interview, I never think about it again. I just don't think about it at all. I leave it right there, and if it happens, it happens. I've done everything from my side to procure this job. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be.
That's great. That's the shooter's mentality in basketball. We call it the shooter's mentality. You take that shot and it went in or it didn't, and you forget about it and you just get ready for the next one. I don't have that in basketball. All my basketball friends will be laughing at me. We have somebody we have somebody on the phone. Who have we got there?
Yes, David. This is a friendly neighborhood producer, Mr. Stevens, calling.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Fine, buddy. I'm Mazetta.
Ian, how are you?
Fine, darling. Yeah, I had a question for Mazetta, obviously. I mean, we've all worked together when we did American Divided, and as I mentioned before to David, that, you know, working with Mazetta is an absolute jewel. And, you know, you are a family when you are working, and sometimes that family can be recreated. And, you know, in some cases, like with me and Dan Robeck, we've been working together off and on for 35 years, you know, so you just never know what next projects have. As a matter of fact, I'm developing a project for that's possibly going to include Mazetta in a funny comedy, Nocturnal Spirito, that I'm putting together now. But the question I have for Mazetta is, you know, I've been on both sides of the camera for many years, but as an actress, when you go in your project, and you've mentioned all the ones that you didn't get and the ones that you took on the roles over your career, but was there ever a role that you may have been offered that you turned down and then you kicked yourself for not doing it?
Yes, there has been roles like that that I have walked away from for one reason or another, and then I was like, why did I do that? I think when I was younger, I didn't really think of it as being hard to get a job. It just wasn't hard. You know, I never had that thing like it's difficult to get a job. It's only once you got older and you realize, oh, wait, this is actually an extremely competitive business, and it's quite hard to get a job. I regret walking away from some of the things I did. You know, but in hindsight, everything happens as it should, right? I mean, everything happens as it should. And it's all a path to learn and grow from. So, yeah, I can't have regrets over it. Sometimes I look at it and I go, oh, but I just let it go because you can't get it back.
Right. You know, that's a healthier approach to, you know, keep in the mindset when you do release it. It's just every once in a while, I'm sure that we all, especially for performers, that you get that instant regret thing. Oh, gosh, you know, I could have won an Academy Award with that. You know, I know it's a stretch, but you never know. But in this industry, it's so unpredictable. So I hear you.
I'd say that you've had so many roles offered to you, I would imagine. Have you passed on that many, Masetta?
Not a lot. I have passed on some. You know, look, I have worked really hard to get where I am. It wasn't like it was handed to me on a platter. I have trained my whole life to do this. I studied acting. I studied dance. You know, I really have had a very good foundation in this. I didn't just walk into this naively thinking this is going to be a walk in the park. I was well prepared. I believe that there is a moment when doors open for you and the right people are in front of you, and you have to be able to deliver in that moment because that's your moment. And you have to be able to perform at the level where they go, oh, he or she is perfect for this role. So I think that's the most important thing. And I think every job I've gotten, I've always felt very grateful and thankful for, because I know what it's like to be able to get a job, and I know what it's like when you struggle to go out to even get an audition. So it's an interesting business. It's a tough business, and I think you have to be into the kind of a gypsy lifestyle. You've got to have a really thick skin, like an elephant, because everybody's going to have an opinion about you. People you don't even know is going to have an opinion about you or think they know you, and you just got to let that all go. So it's a kind of a zen. You have to have a zen approach to acting.
Have you ever had the desire to want to direct?
You know, I do want to, but I'm not really acting. I'm very into documentary filmmaking. I'm trying to work on something right now put together, so hopefully if that gets going, I'll be very excited. I like learning, and I like, you know, anything that stimulates my mind. So that's more the direction that I'd want to go in if I ever did direct anything. I don't think I would. It depends on the project. If something really inspired me, yes. You know, I teach acting, so I guess I'm directing there all day long. when I teach all the kids, you know, I'm constantly directing them there. So I get a full, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, you have to have all these other irons in the fire. So for me, I'm always working on my craft. If I'm not in front of the camera, I am teaching. So I'm always like a well-oiled machine. I don't ever stop. I don't take a hiatus. I'm always working.
Always working.
So, yeah. That's
how David and I met. Was that he came, we talked to each other. He was my student for a while. And then he made the proposal of me coming on board as producer for American Divide and take over. And we worked it out, and it became magical. And just a wonderful, wonderful experience working with you and, of course, Danny and Lisa Yambo and Mr. Taylor and all the rest of the guys. It was a great crew, great cast.
Yeah, actually,
likewise.
Lisa actually had a question online. She said, is there a certain routine that you always do when preparing for a role?
I don't have a routine. However, I will memorize all my dialogue. I like to have all my dialogue completely memorized. You know, I'll look at the character and break the whole character down. Whatever material I'm provided with, I'll break that whole character down, look at the relationships, where they're coming from, what they want, all that kind of stuff. Because I'm a Meisner-trained actor, so I use those kind of principles to look at a scene. But once I have everything memorized, I just put it in my back pocket, and my key is always you put your feeling attention on whoever you're talking to. The minute you're feeling attention on yourself, you're not connected anymore. You're busy judging yourself. When you act, you have to be feeling attention on the other person. And especially if you audition, you want to connect with the other person so your energy doesn't flow back into you and you become all nerves and you can't speak and your voice raises and you speak twice as fast as normal. So that's kind of the process. You've got to be well prepared. You really have to be well prepared, and you have to be well centered.
That's great. And, you know, the name of the show is Becoming an Actor, so I always love to get as many tips and helpful advice as I can get for the listeners. So anything else that you would tell someone that is starting out in this business, ideas that you might give to them to kind of, yeah, because it's a tough business. Sometimes you lose energy or focus. Anything that you would recommend to people to kind of help get them over those hurdles when they're feeling a little bit down about being in the industry?
Well, you know, we live in a very different world today than when I started. Today we have technology available to us. You could literally shoot a movie on your iPhone. You know, iPhone 15 Pro Max is like it's like a camera. It can shoot beautifully if you know what you're doing, right, with it. So there, if you're an actor who really wants to work and you have studied the craft, you know what it is to develop a character. You know, instead of just going out there making a movie and not knowing really how to create a character or develop a character in a film. You know, I think that you have to lay your foundation. You always have to work on your craft. Always, always, always. That is like, it's like going to the gym, okay? Every day, if you want a nice, you want to be in shape, you got to go to the gym every day. Same with acting. You constantly have to be working out your body, your emotional life, your world. And then I would say, if you are having a hard time breaking in, start creating your own project. Start with something small. Make sure you look good in it. Make sure you're really doing a good performance, because you have only got a first time to make a good impression. You know, it's very hard to go meet somebody after you've made a bad impression. It's very hard to get into that door. So the first time you put anything out there, make sure it's good. Okay, and I think there's so much available for people today to create their own projects with. There's so many stories that people can tell. Everybody has a story. You have your own story. So whether you want to do that in a kind of a more like a reality show type feeling, or whether you want to make a movie, it's there. You are your own limitation. So anything is possible. Don't let anybody get you down ever. Never give up on your dream.
And when you're working with other actors on set, is there anything that you feel like, wow, the way this actor is working with me, either they're doing something that really helps to bring out the best in you, or are there times when you're thinking, this is something that you should not be doing on set as an actor? It's making it more difficult for you to bring your character to life.
Well, you know, depending on what movie you're working on, you can't go tell a big Academy Award winning actor that you don't like what they're doing.
That doesn't work out well, huh?
It's not going to work out well for you, okay?
You didn't tell Robert Duvall, Bob, this is all wrong. Come on, man.
No. You know, I think that you have to have enough confidence in yourself to adjust. Sometimes you're going to go into an audition and they're going to team you up with somebody and they're going to read it completely different from how you expected it to be read. And it's going to either throw you, or you're going to have to adjust to that. Because if you don't, you're going to look bad. So you can't just keep your performance going because you've rehearsed it one way and then look completely disconnected from the person next to you. So it's all subtle. So when you have a production going where it's an independent production, or you get along with the other actors, usually actors like to rehearse. Most do. Few don't, but most do. They want to rehearse. They want to work on the project. They want to make it good, because they also want to look good on camera. But some actors don't. Some actors don't care. They just want to get to set and expect you to be perfect, and on action you go. Right? So, again, this is where understanding the craft, being confident in who you are and what you can deliver, is really important, so that you don't get thrown. And I think, you know, when it's a small production, you can say, okay, maybe we can try it this way, maybe we can try it that way. Because obviously there are levels of people who have different experiences or who have more experience that could help. But never go tell somebody that's more serious than you. They should do it a different way because it's not feeding you.
Understood. That's probably good advice. I think most people would know if they're on set with Robert Duvall, you don't say anything. You let him do what he wants to do. But you know what? It's still good advice to pass along to people. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're running down to the last couple of minutes here. Before we let you go, Maseta, any last things you want to throw out there or any shout outs that you want to give to anyone that that you'd like to get in?
Well, I have an audiobook coming out called Swan Song. I don't know when it will be out. That is brand new. That's an adult children's novel. It's a beautiful story about two swans that live on a lake. And as far as a shout out to my mom, really, because if it wasn't for her, who put me here and gave me life and really trained me for hours, I would never be the person I am today. And also shout out to all the moms out there all across the world who put us all here and gave us this creative desire to reflect back to society, a piece of society.
Oh, that's fantastic. And now, really quick, going back to the audiobook you have coming out, is that something that you wrote or is that something that you were brought on to?
No. It's a book written by Lynn Sancher, and she's written many award-winning books. Really fantastic. She brought me on to do the audio recording of this book. It's my first audio book. I had no idea the enormous amount of books an audio book is. I remember watching a movie once, or a TV show once, and I saw Tom Hanks talk about he was doing the narration on what is that movie he did where he was a toy soldier? Toy Story. He said it was the hardest he's ever worked as an actor in his entire life. And I got to tell you, it is the most difficult, the hardest work I have ever done in my entire life. Because,
wow.
You know, normally you're used to seeing yourself and you can go, oh, okay, I can do this better this way, I can do that better this way, maybe I can do, you know what, you have a mirror you're looking at. But when you're doing an audio book, and I had to do like 13 different characters' voices, you don't have anything reflected. Only thing you hear is the voice. And, you know, we are all very critical of ourselves. So perfecting that and then learning how to use the microphone and, you know, avoiding the popping and the smacking and the this and the that. Oh, my gosh, it was a lot of work. It was an enormous amount of work. My agent said to me, everybody always wants to do an audiobook until they do one.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's so true.
Well, Maseta, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. And are you going to be able to make the premiere, hopefully, if we have it May 28th at the Sundial?
Yes, I'd love to be there.
Wonderful.
And thank you so much for having me. It's really nice. And thank you guys for all your questions.
All right. Thank you so much, Maseta Vander. That is amazing. The fact that I was able to have her in my film, the fact that I was able to have her on the show tonight, just absolutely love it. Guys, this is my last show on Tan Talk. Remember, we'll be moving to the Academy next week. It'll still be same day, same time, 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Please tune in. We're going to be at the Academy next week. Hopefully, we'll get to see some people jumping around, throwing each other, throwing some punches in the background. And so thank you so much for joining us while at the Tan Talk Radio. K75 Stunt Academy. Look for the updates on Facebook, and we will see you next week. In the meantime, folks, get on set, get out there, and have a great time. Thank you so much.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.